found over in the book of Psalms 87. We'll start reading in verse number 1. Psalms 87. If you're there, say amen tonight. I'm glad we got a copy of the King James Bible. Don't it look good, God's youngin' standing around the house with a copy of His book? Man, I love the Lord. I appreciate what He's doing in Bowdoin, Georgia. Amen. It's wonderful to belong to the local New Testament church. And I've noticed everything Jesus does, He does with the outflow by the New Testament church. And you remember this, friend, the church is not going down, but it's going up. And the Lord's coming. And I hope you're going. Psalms 87, verse 1, His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. You may be seated tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time together. Pray now you let preaching be easy. Oh God, I pray you'd use us to be a blessing tonight. I pray if it'd be one here that don't know you, Lord, in the free pardon of sin by the grace of God, I pray that you'd move on their heart. Lord, you'd save them by your grace and mercy and compassion tonight. Help me now, and I'll be grateful to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Have you ever noticed verse 3? Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. I'd like to take just a few minutes tonight and preach on the city of God. You know, in this sin-cursed world, where crime is rampant, ungodliness is an all-time high, it seems like the sin is abounding everywhere. But I want to tell you, it's easy to get disillusioned. It's easy to get discouraged. And it's so easy to get disappointed. And that's why many times we ought to take a look at the promises of God. I'm glad my Bible is real. I'm glad I didn't come up under a man that was mixed in his emotion about the Bible that he preached out of. I'm glad, friend, that I don't have a copy of a Word of God, but I have the Word of God. Oh, the King James Bible is very much alive tonight. And so I'm thankful for the promises in this concerning the city of God. But tonight, I'd like to look at this place on the place of the city of God. You know, Abraham, the Bible said in Hebrews 11 and verse number 9 that he looked for it. My, I've thought a lot about Abraham, the father of our faith. And I love what he did, Brother Jason, when the Bible said in Hebrews 11 and verse number 9, it simply said this, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. As in what he said, pretty much as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Like what one old writer said, he was looking for something that didn't have USA stamped on it. Tonight, Abraham looked for the city. I want to say, in John 14, verse number 1, Jesus promised of it. I sure am glad that Jesus keeps His Word. In John's Gospel, chapter number 14, the Bible said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he said, and I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is coming. Are you going? I'm going to say tonight that it's not a fairy tale. I'm glad there is a city of God. The Bible teaches us about the promise of it. Now, Abraham looked for it, and Jesus promised it. But in Revelation 21, John wrote about it. You know, he got to see it. I wonder when Lazarus left out of this world what he seen. But did you notice he never did get to write about it? Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch is there in the city of God tonight. I wonder if Enoch could come back and write what he would write about the city of God. Here he allowed John to pin some things down, and this is what John simply said. He said in Revelation 21, there are some missing things in heaven. I sure am glad when I get to heaven, there'll be some things missing. I want to say, first of all, in Revelation 21 and verse number 1, the sea will be missing. He said this, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Sea stands for separation. Now there, the sea divided, the great land that God spoke into existence, He called it forth out of the face of the waters. But aren't you glad that we headed to a city where there's no more sea, no more separation? Thank God for that tonight. And then there's some missing things. There'll be no more sea. And then verse number 4, there'll be no more suffering. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying. Won't that be a blessing? Some things that are missing. Oh, there's many families that are so overloaded with burdens and sorrows and the cares that are attached to us in this old life. And you know something, what I've noticed? We're really not right with God if the sorrows of others don't affect us. I wouldn't be much preacher tonight if the people in our congregation where they were hurting that I didn't hurt inside with them and for them. And there are some good friends in this ministry that ought to be here tonight. And I look around and think, oh God, I'm glad I'm headed to a city where there'll be sorrow missing that I'll never have to weep another night by the glory of God. I'll never have to go to sleep with tears on my pillow again. I'm glad, you know, the devil's good to show us about what's here, but I'm glad the Bible's good about showing us what's there. I'm glad that some things are missing. The sea's missing, sorrow's missing. Thank God there'll be no more sorrow. You know, I preached this week in Piedmont, and I said it, I guess, probably comical in a statement. I said, I love preaching. And I like pastoring sometimes. But, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, there's some people that have absolutely tore my guts out. I've tore my own heart out. Amen. But aren't you glad we headed to a city where there is no more sorrow? There's been people that I've seen lay and suffer and hurt that my heart grieved for. But I sure am glad I'm going to a place where it's missing something. There'll be no more sea. There'll be no more suffering. Verse 22, there'll be no more sanctuary. Now, in Revelation 21, 22, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. There'll be no more sanctuaries to keep updated, keep painted, keep groomed, grass cut. There'll be no more sanctuaries. And I'm going to tell you something. It is one of the points of my job to teach you in this sanctuary to get ready for that temple there. If you don't learn to worship here, you're going to be way out of place there. If a little loud preaching tears your nerves up, I don't know if you need to go to the heaven I'm going to tonight. My goodness, the Bible said there's going to be a loud noise there. Some ladies tickled me one time, said, you know, we would come listen to you preach, but you're just too loud. The other said, we'd come listen to you, but you're just, we can take the loudness, but you're just too long. Another said, we'd come, but you're just too mean. Somebody say amen. But I'm glad we're going to a city where it's some missing things. There'll be no more sun in verse 23. You better be watching these sunsets, because where we're going, we'll never see it no more. Revelation 21, 23, and the city had no need of the sun. Don't need it there. You know why we have it here? Because we need it. We're not going to need it there, friend. There will be no sunsets there in 25. Look what the Bible said. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all, for there shall be no night there. My little grandboy don't like the dark. He can't put his S and P together, so spooky is pooky. I was outside the other night. I said, come on out here, Parker. He said, no, Pop, it's pooky out there. No more spooky places, thank God. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad we're going to where there's some missing things. No more sunset. Then 27, there'll be no sinners there. The Bible said, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of abomination or make of a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book. I am sure I'm glad I am written down tonight. Then if there's no sinners there, it lets me know in chapter 22 and verse 3, there'll be no sin there. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. Boy, won't it be a blessing to have a glorified body and a pure mind. There'll be no wicked thoughts. There'll be no wrong statements. Honey, we're going to a place where there is no sin. And thank God, I'm glad sin's missing in the city. Heaven's going to be renovated by fire. So is this earth. Why? Because the devil has sinned. God will purge it all with fire. Therefore, we'll have a new heaven and a new earth. Therefore, there will be no more sin. And that leads me to the last point of missing things. Thank God there'll be no more Satan. Satan knows he has a short time. You know what I'm more... Y'all folks want to know something I've learned since I've been saved that I'm really learning as I go along? Quit telling the devil important things about me. Because he's listening. The devil only knows what we tell him. You know, I've noticed the people... You better be careful, because the devil will hear people you're bragging on. You better be careful not to get up on a limb, crow about you too loud. Because he'll hear what you say, and it will become a target and attack. And I'm going to tell you what, we are no match for the devil, but aren't you glad there's a God in heaven that has defeated the devil? I'm glad I'm going to a city where there's some missing things. Now, in Revelation 20, verse number 1, watch your Bible. He said, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now then, look with me, if you would, in verse number 10 and underline it. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire. The devil's so deceptive. Young people... He'll tempt you with sin, but he won't show you what sin will do to you. You know, the devil will tempt you with sin, and before long you're playing with sin, and then it's not long sin be playing you. Did you know that temptation is a visitation from sin? When I'm tempted, it means there's a visitation from sin. And I sure am glad that I'm going to a place where there's no more sin nor Satan. I'm glad I won't have to fight Satan no more every day of my life. Won't it be a joy to wake up and not feel a battle going on in our life? One good thing about it, if we have a battle going on, it means the devil don't have us yet. And therefore, the Bible said, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone with the beast and the false prophet are shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Verse number 11, I saw a great white throne. This is the judgment bar of God. This is where the lost people stand, not where me and you stand. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the book was opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Verse 14, death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. I'm glad the city has some missing things. Oh, I'm glad of some things that won't be there. You see, that is the missing things. Number two, there are some measured things. Well, in Revelation 21, verse 16, we see its shape. You ever wondered about where he is going to heaven? He says simply in Revelation 21 and verse number 16, the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed. In other words, it was four squares, like a cube. Not only the measurements of it, the shape, but we see the size. In verse number 16, he says he measured the city with a reed and the gates thereof and the wall. And the city lieth four square, the length as large as the breadth. And he measured the city of the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. 1,500 mile cube is how big heaven is. I'd ask you tonight, think of the millions of souls that has populated this world. Sounds like to me the Bible's real when it says that few be there that find it. Only 1,500 miles is the size or the measurement of heaven. And its measurement's not only its shape and its size, but it has great strength. Look in verse 17. The Bible said he measured the wall. It was 144 cubits according to the measure of man, that is of the angel. It was some 216 feet thick. Boy, it has great strength. It has great structure. It leads me to the third point tonight. In this city of God, not only the missing things and the measured things, but look at its materials. The Bible said in verse 18, in Revelation 21, there was a wall of jasper. And then in verse 18, a lot of people misquote this verse. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Pure, the whole city, pure gold. You know, God could have made it out of anything he wanted, but he chose to make it out of gold. Verse 19, it had 12 foundations. Then verse 21, the Bible said, and the 12 gates on this city were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of it, of the city, was pure gold as it was transparent glass. 12 gates, 3 opens to the north, 3 to the south, 3 to the east, and 3 to the west. You know what it said? Come one, come all, but you must all come by the way of the old rugged cross. I'm glad the gates of the city are available tonight. And certainly, we see the materials, its wall, and its foundations, its gates. And then verse 21, the street of gold. The Bible said the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Then Revelation 22 and 1, there's the river of life. He showed me a pure river, water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And then verse 2, there's the tree of life. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, were there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Thank God we'll never be sick another day in our life. Never will sickness be in that city. Because we have a healing tree. I want to remind you about a healing tree tonight. It stood on Calvary's hill. There the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Terry had prayed, he took our place. I'm glad there's healing comes from the tree. I'm glad that there's reception that comes from that tree. Boy, I sure am glad there's an invitation that comes from that tree. Here we see heaven, this great city of God. There were some missing things, and there's some measured things, and there's some material things. But I want to talk about tonight the main attraction there. I want to say in Revelation 22 and 4, there be a love that welcomes us. You ever seen this in the Bible? 22 and 4, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in there for it. We're going to see Him. And let me tell you, you won't get Him mixed up with nobody. You'll know who He is. It's going to be amazing to see the one that bled and died for me, hung for my sin and your sin. And when we get there, the main attraction will be a love that welcomes us. Aren't you glad you got a Savior that loves you tonight? You know something what the devil will tell you? Because you've messed up or you've made a mistake or you've did this or you've did that. This is what he'll say. God don't love you no more. That's not in your Bible. There's never been a time that God hadn't loved us. Now we can break fellowship with God. And it's very important that we stay in fellowship with God. But let me tell you something. The devil is a liar. God loves you tonight. And it doesn't matter what you've done or how long you've been doing it. There's a God in heaven that loves you and a Bible that backs it all up. And I'm glad I believe both. Tonight, the main attraction, there'll be a love to welcome us. But there will also not only be a love there, but there'll be a lamb there. Revelation 21, 22. You'll notice this, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. We're going to worship the Lamb. Can you imagine some of the greatest times that we've had together in this sanctuary to worship the Lord Jesus? When we get to heaven, what kind of worship of atmosphere will be there? The Bible said they cried, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." Let me tell you what. He's worthy tonight to be praised. There's nobody never loved you like Jesus loves you. There's nobody cared for you like Jesus has cared for you. No, there's nobody that's been a friend like Jesus has been a friend to you. A man that has friends must show himself friendly, but there's one that sticketh closer than a brother. It does matter how you treat people, but aren't you glad when we've mistreated him, he still loves us and he's still our friend. And he still comes to our refuge. And I'm glad there is a refuge in the city of God. Tonight, not only there will be love to welcome us, a lamb to worship, but there will be a light to walk in. Revelation 21 and 23. Can you imagine the light we're going to experience in this city? The Bible said, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." You know, I'm glad when we get there, we're going to see Him that loved us and died for us. And now the Bible, you know what it says, what it teaches, that He's sitting on the right-hand side of the Father making intercession for us. When we sin, we can come to God by Him. When we pray, I sure am glad God can hear our prayers because of His Son. Now, watch your Bible in John 10. John 10. I want you to look in verse number 1. Something very important about this sermon tonight. You see, heaven, the city of God. Now, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door in the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. Now this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill. Boy, isn't that so true? That's all the world the devil's done. Just, he's come to steal and to kill and to destroy. He don't want to hurt you. He wants to destroy you. But Jesus said, I am come. That they might have life. They might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's the door of the city. Michelle, if you'd come and play something for me tonight on this instrument, I would greatly appreciate it. I feel in my heart that I need to do this evening. First of all, I want to ask you, don't get your eyes fixed and fastened so much in this old world. There's a better day coming, child of God. Better day coming. The promises of this book are reliable. And you can take it to the bank tonight. But first and foremost and more important, probably the most severe question that a man ever asked you, have you been saved? You say, preacher, I want to go to heaven. Well, then you got to go through by the door. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to Him by faith, just as the Bible said. He said He would in no wise cast you out. You know, Jesus been at this door. I'm glad not only he stands by it, but he knocks by it. Isn't that amazing? A God that loves us enough that would knock on the doors of our heart. The Bible simply said, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He said, verse 13, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. He said, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Wouldn't that be a blessing tonight? If you come, give your life to Jesus. You say, well, preacher, will the Lord really have me? Oh, He sure will. He died for the likes of me and you. I wonder tonight, are you going to heaven? And do you want to go to heaven? You can if you'll come by the door. That is the Son. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to open this altar this evening. I wonder.